Rockdale County, Georgia, won the 1987 high school boys basketball championship. Took home the trophy, put in the trophy case, and then they discovered they had a problem. That one of the players on the team was academically ineligible. Now, this player played in the first game of the playoffs for the last 45 seconds when the team was winning by 23 points. He clearly had no factor on the outcome of the game or on the rest of the games the team played, never having him play. But the coach said, "We know that he's ineligible, and we can't keep this trophy." Even the other team thought it was silly. Hey, you beat us. It didn't make a difference. In fact, the people of Rockdale County, Georgia, got so upset, the story was picked up by the New York Times. And the New York Times had a reporter interview Coach Stroud. "Why would you get rid of this trophy when everyone's telling you it's okay? It's not a big deal. He didn't have any outcome on the championship." And here's what Coach Stroud said. "You've got to do what's honest and right. People will forget the scores of basketball games, but they don't ever forget what you're made of." God challenges you and I to never forget what we're made of. And we usually want to come out with the stuff that's good. "Well, God, I'm really good and nice to people," whatever that means. No, God is challenging us to take an honest look at ourselves, especially when it comes to the area of prayer, as we talk today about acceptable prayer. Because sometimes when we pray, we hold back. We hold back in embarrassment. We hold back in shame. We hold back because what if I ask God to do it and God doesn't do it? Doesn't that prove that prayer is powerless? We have all these reasons that we sometimes hold back in prayer. And I want you to understand that honesty with God is critical to your relationship with God. It is critical, and if you can't be honest with God, you won't be honest with anybody. I want you to take a look at Psalm chapter 6. We're going to take a look through the chapter, but Psalm chapter 6, verse 9 is really what everything's going to center on, revolve around here this morning. You see what David writes here towards the end of this chapter. He says, Psalm chapter 6, verse 9, "The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." Our big point that I want you to be able to walk out with today is this: honest prayer is acceptable prayer. Now, think about how you and I evaluate our prayer lives. "Well, that was a pretty short one. Probably wasn't long enough to do much good. I didn't use very many theological words in that prayer. I probably better start over and say propitiation at least once, and then God will be impressed with me." We tend to judge our prayer by all these other factors, by factors that people have said on it or that we've said on it ourselves. So when we talk about honest prayer being acceptable prayer, what it is, it's a recognition of something, specifically two areas. And I know as a Baptist pastor, I'm supposed to give you three, but keeping prayer simple, we're only going to have two. The first one is you need to have a recognition of your own weaknesses in order to offer honest prayer. Secondly, you need to have a recognition of God's strength in order for you to offer honest prayer. So we're going to begin in the more challenging place. Take a look there, Psalm chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, because the first place we need to start, and really the place we always need to start, is a recognition of our own weaknesses. Take a look at what David writes. "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. You know what David's doing? David is acknowledging he has real challenges in his life. David is acknowledging he has real weakness in his life. And he's willing to confess his issues. Don't forget, just a few psalms ago, he's writing a psalm, he's writing a prayer because he's on the run from his son Absalom. Now you might say, well, of course, yeah, he had to run because Absalom decided he was going to make a power play. He wanted, as a prince, to step up into the king role. But don't forget, part of the reason that David was being pushed out was because there are consequences to sin. Absalom's rise was because of David's sinful fall. And many years had passed. Does God forgive? Absolutely, God forgives. But does that mean that every consequence just washes away when we seek God's forgiveness? No. Sometimes there are consequences that are still going to remain. Sometimes people commit a heinous crime. They're in prison for life. They give their life to Jesus Christ. They're not going to be released. Yes, their soul has changed, but the consequences still remain for their sin. And when you look through here, you see David being very honest about himself. In verse 1, he admits, God, I deserve discipline. I deserve discipline. I did the exact opposite of what I should have done. And I know I did. I know I deserve it. In verse 2, he says, I feel alone. I feel completely worn out. I feel like I'm all by myself. You hear this refrain from David a lot. God, where are you? Are you even listening to me? Now, verse 6 is interesting because he says, I can't sleep. Remember the end of Psalm chapter 3, a psalm of peace. He said, I can lie down and I can sleep because of the peace of God. What's he saying now? I can't sleep. You know what that means? Sometimes we have a really great Sunday and a really poor Tuesday. We need to be willing to admit that. See, sometimes we have a day that was so great. We got up, we read the Bible, we had a time of prayer. Maybe we even had a chance to share Jesus Christ with somebody, and it was a great day. And then the next day comes, and it just wasn't so hot. You're like, what happened to me? What's wrong with me? You're human. That's what's wrong with you. You're human. You have weaknesses that make up who you are. So in verse 6, it's not lost on me that just a few psalms ago, David was teaching me how to lie down and rest in peace. And now he's saying, I can't sleep and I just want to cry and I don't know why. I just want to go to bed with a tub of Rocky Road and just feel better about myself. But it's not working. Nothing seems to be working. And I want you to see what he's doing here. Admitting your struggles is not a faith failure. I want you to listen to that again, because I had to listen to this all week long while I wrote this sermon. Admitting your struggles is not a faith failure. It's what? Honesty. It's on. Do you know a time that I see people struggle to be real in their faith is when somebody who loved Jesus Christ passes away and they wonder, well, am I allowed to mourn? I don't want to look like the world. The Bible doesn't say don't mourn. It says don't mourn as someone who has no hope. See, sometimes we think, well, I can't have real emotions. I can't have real struggles. You can. And the beautiful thing is you can actually talk to God about that. I know I say this all the time. I know you're getting sick of it. But listen, there's nothing you should hold back in prayer for, because God already knows it. Sometimes we say, well, then why do I pray? For the same reason when it's a hot day and my kids want a popsicle, I still want them to ask. Because it's about a relationship. Sure, I know what they want. Sure, I know what they need. Sure, I could just fling it at them. But wouldn't it be better to have this relationship where we're just honest about our needs, where we're honest about what's going on in our lives? And you find all through the Psalms, David is a guy who oftentimes voiced his weaknesses. Sometimes he got a little overdramatic and said, God, I'm dying. God's like, you're not dying. And no, I'm dying. And you don't care. And then the next day he'd say, thank you for saving me. I mean, he had these back and forth times. You know, sometimes people get upset because the Bible twice before and after the sin with Bathsheba, calls David a man after God's own heart. People say, well, how could he be a man after God's own heart when we know he had all these issues? It doesn't say he was a man who owned God's heart. It said he was chasing after. He was trying to be able to sing that song, knowing you. He wanted to know God better. That's what being a disciple is. It's not just rejoicing that I have heaven. It's trying to live on earth, the kingdom of God down here, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm trying to know him better. David was willing to admit those issues. David was willing to be honest before God in prayer, and we're challenged to do the same thing. Andrew Murray, if you have never read anything by Andrew Murray, fix your life. And go find a devotional book by Andrew Murray, fantastic pastor and missionary. But he talks about those difficult moments of prayer. He says, as you go to pray, however cold and dark your heart may be, do not try in your own might to force yourself into the right attitude. Bow before him and tell them what he sees, what poor state you're in, and your only hope is in him. What does that mean? God, I don't know how to pray. Tell God that. God, I don't really feel like praying today. Tell God that. God, I don't know what to pray. Tell God that. You see, so many times we come to God and we start talking about stuff that is important, but it's not what's really in our heart. You know what God wants? He wants us just to be honest. You know what Jesus got frustrated with the Pharisees? They always wanted people to be fake. Be honest. Jesus would rather an honest question than a fake appearance. And when you come in prayer, if you're struggling, just say, I'm struggling. To be honest before God means that you recognize that he knows your heart. So to share anything less than your true self is to hold back. And listen, if you're going to hold back in your prayers, why should God do anything less with his answers? I mean, this is what Scripture talks to us about. Take a look, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. You see, Jesus is encouraging us to ask, seek, knock. In fact, the word means to keep on doing it. Now, some people don't like this verse because they're like, well, this is the verse where you tell Jesus you want a Lamborghini and he gives you a Lamborghini, and I didn't get a Lamborghini. Listen, you don't want a Lamborghini, first of all. I like my minivan. I like being up above traffic. You don't want to be down here. You can't see nobody. Man, get a minivan and just fix your life. But when you start asking God to do something, Jesus is saying, keep on asking. Because it doesn't say everyone who asks receives exactly what they asked for. In our Sunday school lessons not that long ago, Paul had a thorn, something that was bothering him. And he prayed to God, God, take this away. Nothing happened. He prayed again, God, take this away. Nothing happened. Prays the third time, God, take this away. God says, how about instead of taking it away, I give you something. I'm going to give you the grace to be able to have that difficulty in your life because you are better with the challenge than you are without it. And if you will pray continuously, you will find your prayers changing. You will find that you are now able to accept not the answer you thought you wanted, but the answer God says you needed. But if you're going to hold back in your prayers, and you're not going to pray that consistent, and to really labor in prayer, then yes, you are going to feel that God's not coming through when you're calling him. You need to ask yourself right now, is there anywhere I am holding back in my prayers? Because I'm afraid to put that on the line. That's a big prayer. What if God doesn't do it and I can't trust him? Are you willing? Listen, the first step to be able to offer up these kind of honest, acceptable prayers is you've got to just admit your own weaknesses. You need to start admitting how much more you need God than you realize you need God. And when you do, you're going to find you can't hold back because you've been invited to reach out. Take a look again, Psalm chapter 6. Let's go back to verse 9 again, because we want to not only recognize our weaknesses, but we're not going to live in them. We also want to recognize His, that's God's, strength. Psalm 6, 9, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. My family loves going to the zoo. They always have. I'm not big on animals unless they're, you know, barbecued or whatever, but my kids like going to the zoo. And so we'd go, and so we recently went to the Brookfield Zoo. My mom got us a membership there, so we're at the Brookfield Zoo, and I'm watching my teenage kids walk around the zoo. And in my mind, as they're walking, they start shrinking back to the stroller. And I start thinking about pushing them in the stroller, and then when they got big enough, they wanted to get out so they could go walk up to the giraffes. And so you'd get them out, and they'd start toddling over there. But, you know, they would get a little bit of ways, but they'd come back. That was always just so exciting to have your kid come back, you know, especially when their hand isn't even big enough to take your hand. They just kind of take a finger. Boy, a lot of people are smiling right now. This has been your favorite part of the whole sermon. Okay, I get that. But when you see this word accepts, he says, the Lord accepts my prayer. It's a word that means God grasps me. And it's a grasp of relationship. It can be the kind of grasp of a groom taking the hand of his bride. It can be the grasp of a mother or a father grasping the hand of their child. It's a grasp of relationship, a grasp of care, a grasp that God says, I hear you. And I appreciate that you really offered up a prayer that was hard. I know it wasn't easy saying those things. I already knew them. But I'm glad that you said them. And David had to recognize his weaknesses, God's strength. Because listen, how can we tell people that's how you get saved, but that's not how you pray? Isn't recognizing weakness and strength how someone comes to Christ? You're recognizing you're weak, that you're sinful, that there's nothing about you that is redeeming, that you can't stand before God and impress Him, that the only way you can come into heaven is through the blood and the grip of Jesus. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them from my hand. If God's got your soul, what do you think He wants to do with your prayers? When you're willing to admit your weakness and God's strength, do you recognize when you pray, you're admitting you're weak and God is strong? When you don't pray, you're saying, I am strong and God is weak. Let's say that again. When you don't pray, you're saying, I am strong and God is weak. Listen, that wasn't in the sermon. God just spoke that to me in the 8 o'clock service, and it spoke volumes to me, and so I share it with you because I recognize that's what's happening. When I'm in times of prayerlessness, it's because I'm saying I'm strong enough. And if I'm going to say it once, then I'm going to say it twice, and I'm going to say it three times, and now I've missed the honest, acceptable prayer. Listen, just like when my kids would run off to go see the giraffes, and then they'd run back, I always had my hand out there ready to take their hand. God is ready to take the hand of His honest child who comes and says, Dad, I messed up. Like so much, I've been putting this prayer conversation on the back burner for a week, and you know it. And what does it say? He accept. What did David do? Did David go through all the great things he had done in the beginning? No! He's like, God, here's everything I am, and it's awful. But he said, God heard my plea and accepts my prayer. He recognizes again that steadfast love of God, because of course the Old Testament God is unloving, right? No, read the Old Testament. You see the steadfast, sure love of God. It told us in Psalm 3:8 that salvation belongs to our God. It's His. So if I'm going to trust Him with my soul, I need to trust Him with my situations, trust Him with my prayers. I referenced to you guys so many times the Valley of Vision. It's a book of Puritan prayers, and it's not that I try to just pray someone else's prayers, but I find it's good for me to hear the prayers that God moves in another person. It sparks me in new ways. And it was sharing about 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I'm not going to make you do it, but if you know what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, if you could quote it and I was going to give you a candy bar for it, just raise your hand. There's no candy bars on the line. Okay, a few. All right. You need to learn this one. Number one, if you pick the right translation, it's only two words. Pray unceasingly. Or it says pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Don't stop praying. The Valley of Vision takes a prayer and it summarizes 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here's how it words it in this prayer. Help me to be all prayer and never cease praying. To be prayer means that you realize prayer is your constant opportunity. You can always pray. On your best day, pray. On your worst day, pray. In the morning, pray. At lunch, pray. At night, pray. Just pray. Be prayer. Be a person who's in this constant conversation. In fact, this word that says pray, it's the most comprehensive word for prayer in the New Testament. It covers every possible prayer. It covers prayers of intercession where you are asking God to do something on your behalf or you're asking Him to do something on behalf of someone else. It covers prayers of thanksgiving where you're saying, God, thank you for what you've done. It covers prayers of worship where you say, God, thank you for who you are. It covers prayers for salvation. God, move in this heart. Move me to share the gospel with him. It covers every opportunity for prayer, and we're encouraged to be prayer, to be so much in prayer. It's just who we are. Warren Wiersbe says, the verse means constantly recurring, not continuously recurring. We are to keep the receiver off the hook and remain in touch with God. So it's not that you're just constantly murmuring while you're at the DMV, although that's a good place to murmur constant prayer, but you're just murmuring, God, just do something right now. I mean, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying that at every moment, you're not embarrassed to pick the conversation back up, to pick the phone back up, that you've left the receiver off the hook because you recognize that you don't have to start over to pray a second time during the day. Did you know that you could pray more than once during the day? Oh my goodness, that's revelatory. Chris is so excited. All right, that's what we're talking about. We want to be excited about that. Why? Because it's all about when you're coming back to God, you're recognizing you are weak and he is, let's say it like we're Baptist and we mean it, and he is, some of you are like, I'm not Baptist. Well, that's okay. You can still shout in the service. So what we're talking about is that honest prayer is acceptable prayer. If you say, well, how do I know God's going to accept my prayers? I would ask you this question. If you've really been worried about that, my question to you would be, what have you been holding back in your prayer life? What relationship are you not willing to pray about? What job situation are you not willing to pray about? What response that you gave towards someone that you know was wrong have you been unwilling to pray about? David is encouraging us, lift your prayer honestly so God may grasp you firmly. Lift your prayer honestly so God may grasp you firmly. I know I embarrass Brother Dwight when I say things like this, but if you don't know Brother Dwight, you need to get to know Brother Dwight. But one night we were in prayer meeting together, and he said something that I wrote down because we were talking about the conflict of prayer. Like, how do I know what to pray? How do I pray? How do I get over the dumb things I do and then try to pray? And Brother Dwight said, prayer is just relating to Jesus and knowing him better. Prayer is relating to Jesus. Knowing. How do you know someone better? Honest conversations. The first date, never the honest conversations. We dress the best we can. If we got hair, we comb it. If we got teeth, we brush them. We do all that stuff. But after a while, you start having the honest conversations. God loves you enough for the honest conversations. Prayer is knowing Jesus and knowing him better. But you're going to have to admit your weaknesses, and you're going to have to recognize his strengths. And you're also going to have to take on that understanding that when you fail to be a person of prayer, that that's sin, and that you are making yourself in the place of God. I'm going to solve this. God can't do this. But I probably can. Or God's too busy. Or I'm having a good day, I'm not going to bother God today. On the day that you think you're having your best day is probably the day you should pray the hardest. You look for your opportunities. I want to encourage you to approach God honestly in prayer. And as you do, I'm telling you from personal experience, as you approach God honestly in prayer, you will feel his grasp. And it is the grasp of relationship. But it only comes when you can approach the throne of grace boldly through the blood of Jesus. I tried to pray many times before I ever accepted Christ. But when I accepted Christ, I knew everything was different. I wasn't a better person, but I had been saved by the Son of God. And I could bring every prayer, no matter how silly, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, I could bring every one of them in front of God. And he was ready to grasp my hand. I'm not asking if you know about Jesus. I'm asking if you know Jesus. I'm asking if you've admitted your weakness of sin that is keeping you separated from God, and you now understand that Jesus died not just for the world, but God so loved you that you don't have to perish for your sins, that you can be saved if you're ready to come before him honestly. In a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond, and I want to encourage you if you say, I truly don't know the destination of my soul. And I don't know what all these people are going to think if I try to make some sort of decision today. Like Brother Max said, we'll think it's awesome. And if you need to come to Jesus, don't let anything hold you back.